Welcome to another episode of the Perfect Franchise Podcast, where we try to extract and then deconstruct best practices from some of the highest performing professionals in the franchise industry. My name is Chris Simonich. My co-host is Andrea Floyd. And today we have a very special guest. We have Bill Stark, who has a long and glorious career in franchising and currently is a teammate of ours, a member of the Perfect Franchise team. So Bill, welcome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you guys allowing me to join you today on the podcast, and I look forward to having a productive conversation.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here, Bill. And I think let's start the podcast from the beginning in the sense of, you know, you obviously have been a franchisee before. How did you decide to buy a franchise?
You know what? In hindsight, I would probably say I would have never bought a franchise. I would have never bought a business. I grew up in the Midwest. Very concerned family. And I was told, get an education, study hard, get a degree, climb the corporate ladder, which I did. So after a 30-year career in supply chain management, worked with two companies for 30 years total, 9 with one and 21 with the other, great career. And then I was let go. And I was blindsided, basically the rug pulled off of my feet, and I was humbled because I had climbed, really didn't have a whole lot of adversity here and there, but for the most part, it was just where they sold off half the development supply business, I was let go. So at 53 years old, I said, what do I got to do? I've got 3 kids going to college pretty soon. So yeah. I was pretty bummed out. I had to realize, I had to figure out, like, hey, I've got to get myself together and figure out what the next steps are. So I had a lot of interviews, corporate executive positions, just wasn't the right fit. And then I was looking online and I ran into some consultant, a franchise consultant that, you know, connected online on LinkedIn with a lot of my clients. And then I decided to go down that path and explore. I'm not going to name the gentleman or the organization that helped me, but when I went through the process, I bought a franchise that was really struck my heart. It was something that I was passionate about. It was fitness related, mobile, and I thought this is a perfect fit. I just, not that the consultant really helped me along. It was my decision. It was my choice. But when I went through the validation process, I was really going blind. I didn't have a lot of help, in my opinion, now that I know consulting. So when I went and explored the brand, I even went to the discovery at the very end. I was excited about it. And I met the CEO and I was not impressed with him. So my gut was telling me this guy's kind of a shady character, but a lot of people at corporate were nice. So I decided to go forward because I felt I was between a rock and a hard place and I had to do something because I sat for 9 months interviewing with my 2 dogs in my family room. I don't know if they ever spent some time alone. You know, you're kind of, what am I going to do? I've got kids. I got a house. I got expenses. So I decided to do a purchase franchise. And actually, I met another lady that was a consultant. And she goes, you'd be a great consultant. And I'm like, I don't know anything about franchising. So I chose to buy the franchise instead. Back to that. So I did that. Did it for a couple of years. And I was out there grinding. I was doing things that I never thought I would do with an MBA. But I was passionate. And some of the things I really liked about it, because my passion, it was about helping people, fitness, but it was such a grind. And I think there were some flaws with the business model. And that's where the due diligence didn't come in properly. I didn't do it accurately enough and really dive into the brand like I should have. I was making an emotional decision versus really a financial and a thoughtful based upon facts. And because I wanted to go along when I met the CEO of the brand. Anyways, long story short, I did that a couple of years and it just wasn't the right fit for me. I ran into a gentleman in Phoenix market and he was very similar to my role, very successful franchise owner, but he was in defense contracting, went to Michigan State. I mean, we just became best friends. I'm like, what are you doing? And he basically told me he was getting into consulting. And he was a very successful franchisee as well. So we had a conversation. He goes, you should be a consultant. And I was like, that's the lady said 2 years ago when I met her. So I had some interviews. I actually had 3 offers in consulting and I chose to go one path. And I just loved it. And there was a lot of grinding, a lot of learning, which was fine for me. So That's kind of what my initial impression was, but I really got a taste of business ownership. I just selected the wrong model. And I realized it too, that the consultant that assisted me really didn't provide me much value, which really struck a chord with me. And like, I could do that someday. When my friend approached me, now he's my friend, I realized I could do that. I did a lot of mentoring during my career. I had programs like that in corporate world, but I realized what the skills that I have was a perfect fit for franchise consulting. And that's why I pursued that path.
Bill, let me ask you this. So let's rewind just a little bit, because what happened to you with that first franchise, you raise a couple of things there. You said you were buying it emotionally. You were buying it because it was a passion. And you also said something to the effect of, you don't feel like you did the due diligence correctly.
Correct.
So can you talk about that? Like, what were some of the lessons you learned as far as what you did wrong vetting the franchise you bought? And then how does that inform how you help folks do it correctly now that you're a consultant?
Yeah, understanding the business model better. So one is, I didn't believe the CEO. When I met him face to face in the discovery day, I looked him in the eyes, and quite honestly, I knew deep down that I didn't believe the guy. I thought he was full of BS, but his executive team was good. And then come to find out, they were all let go and they had a lot of problems with the gentleman. So I think part of the leadership was really poor. That was one. Looking at the financials, there were some flaws in the FDD, and I kind of overlooked them. And I didn't have any guidance there. I did seek out with a couple of individuals, and somebody kind of warned me that, hey, this might not be as good financially. So when I looked at it, I kind of, because of my emotions and when I wanted to go do something, let that go. In hindsight, that was a huge mistake. I take full responsibility of it. I'm not blaming any consultant, because I own that. I'm smart enough to make decisions, but I clearly made it with emotions. But there was just some flaws in the business model. And also, I didn't do enough validation with franchise owners, which was a failure on my part and the brand to really give me directions. I tried to seek out some individuals, but I just didn't get enough input on the success of the brand and what they were doing. So I also believe there were some things that were covered up from the brand's perspective. I'm not sure if I would have ever found that out, but there was enough red flags for me that should have prevented me from going forward. And no, that's a mistake. I guess you learn a lot more from your mistakes than your successes. And that was clearly the case in this case.
Yeah. So Bill, you talked about, you know, the relationship with the brand, sort of a partnership is the way I've always described it to clients. I mean, how would you tell your clients to avoid that pothole of, you know, going with somebody that you didn't trust? What are all, you know, follow your gut, right?
Well, I think following the guts is, you can go so far with that, but I think you've got to make a sound decision based on facts. Some of it's going to be gut, but learning about the finances, really understanding what you're committed to as far as the FDD, also the people that are within the brand, that you've had enough conversations with franchisees, as well as the franchise, the operational team within the franchise, to really feel comfortable. I did some of that because some of the people were really good, but they could also cover that up. And that's where, well, I'll share with my clients that they really got to get a good overview and ask the right probing questions, which I give them. So I give my clients some questions they need to be thinking about. Come prepared to meetings. And I didn't do that as well as I should have, but there's a lot of information you can, if you prepare yourself for the validation process with good probing questions, you will get the answers that you need to make a very well-informed decision.
Yeah. Bill, where does passion fit into a client's decision-making? Meaning, you know, a lot of clients will come to you, I'm sure, like they come to Andrea and I, you know, one of the reasons they're looking at franchises is because they want to do something that they're interested in or they have a quote unquote passion for, right? I get it. It was the same for you. Where does that fit in the hierarchy of what's important in a decision? Is it the most important thing, or how do you advise your clients on that topic?
You know, I don't think there's a most important, but I think passion is important. If you wake up every day, if you don't have a passion, I don't care if you're retired, you're not going to be happy in life. I think you have to have a passion in life. So my decision getting into the fitness brand was passion about, because I love fitness, but there was, it has to have other components of that. The people you're working with within the corporate executive team, which I didn't have faith in, which is a huge mistake, a major red flag. So passion's one thing. I could have found another fitness franchise. I would have probably done very well in. It was just at the time, I think I didn't have a much belief in myself because I wasn't exposed to entrepreneurial opportunities. So a lot of times people will think this way. This is another mindset that I realized I own it, is that when I was looking at a business model, I was like, well, what can I afford to lose? You know, and I didn't have faith in myself. Mm-hmm. And people will say that, well, this is what I can afford to lose. I said, I'll tell you what, that's a mistake. I said, if you don't believe in yourself, you got to find the right business model and don't be thinking about, well, if I lose this, you're already having a negative mindset. And I did have that because I knew I was getting some money and I'm like, well, if I lose this, then I don't have a loan or something like that. But so that was another factor. But there's, I don't know if there's just one thing. I think you have to have passion. Back to your question, though, Chris, you got to like what you're doing when you get up. You know, there's some franchise business models that, you know, you're dealing with sad people or people that aren't happy. Do you want to be in a brand that where people are happy coming to see your service? How many employees that you have? Do you like managing a lot of employees? So you have to understand things that are important to you in running a business. What do you excel at? I always tell my clients there's business ownership or people management, running a business, people management, financial management, sales and marketing. You got to figure out what you're good at and then hire the other things that you're not good at. And I've always managed a lot of people, the sales and marketing. I was no problem going out there, financial management. My wife did it because she's in finance. But I think it's all those factors with people. They just need to take a look at the pros and cons. But there's always going to be fear getting into it. And it crept into me too. I always feel that fear dissipates the more educated you become on a brand. I just don't think I did my proper due diligence. So that's why I often give presentations on military bases about conducting a proper due diligence. I don't care if it's a job, starting a company, or a franchise. You need to really understand what you're getting into and make a very warm, very informed decision based upon your research before you don't jump into something. So it's kind of what I share.
So Bill, you worked with a consultant, you maybe didn't pick the right business the first round. What learnings do you take from that? And do you change when you're working with your clients to make sure it's a better experience for them?
Well, great question, because I take my personal experience and I share that with my clients. One was when I got into consulting, and I am passionate about it. People hear my voice said, well, you're really passionate about it. And I am excited about it. But I will say one thing, with the failure of the first one, it taught me a lot about being a better consultant and what I can do to add value to my clients because of what I failed to do. So I bring that to the table. I share my experience. But it's also motivated me to find the right business model. So my wife and I bought a wellness brand. It's a brick and mortar, totally different business models. And I share that about, I've had a service business and I have a brick and mortar. And we're excited about it. It's a wellness brand. My wife will run it. But it's one of those that I'm passionate about too. I'm excited. I'm going to use the services. So we're excited. We plan to launch it this summer. But as far as the consulting, I bring a lot of my experience and whether they can add value. But then I just make sure that my clients know you've got to do the proper due diligence. I'm going to help educate you. I'm going to help you explore. But the last step is going to be most crucial. You got to do your homework. I'll guide you through the process of what I've experienced and then making sure you make a decision based upon a well thought out informed process. So by the end, you feel very comfortable with your decision that you've done your research.
You know, Bill, I think you're making it very clear why, you know, somebody who works with you, Bill Stark, you know, is at a real advantage. You've got this experience, you've been in their shoes, not once, but twice. But besides just your specific franchise experience, now you are part of the Perfect Franchise team. So, you know, what is it about the Perfect Franchise that you'd like to tell the folks you work with that make what you do for them and how you advise them a little bit different than what else is out there?
I would say people, professionalism, integrity, collaboration. I've now been in the industry for about 6-7 years now in consulting. Did very well in the previous organization. Partnering with Mark has developed a team of people that are very professional and collaborative. And I think this is the same thing. And I share that experience about the group that we're in. We want to do the right thing with the right consultants and the right brands. It's the same thing when clients have a validation process with a brand. You want to find the right fit for them as well. It's always boils down to people. The integrity, we want to do it the right way. Everybody's sharing. If you know anything about and I didn't know about franchise consulting when I got into it. I came from a very professional background, supply chain management. I kind of made the decisions. I treated salespeople professionally. I always want to get back. I believe in the golden rule. But when I got into franchise consulting, I found out real quick there's a lot of salesmanship in this industry. Salesy people out there, everybody's trying to sell you something. So you had to get a little bit guarded, like, wow, this is a little bit different than I'm used to. So what is my approach? I wasn't going to change who I am, but that's one thing I respect about the perfect franchise that Mark created, and you guys are a perfect example of that. We share ideas. We help each other out. And the ultimate goal is if we help our clients and provide them exceptional value-added service, and we do that as a collective group, we're all going to succeed, not only us as consultants, but as our clients that are moving forward with the right franchise brand.
Yeah, no, that's great. I agree with you. The collaboration is a big piece of this, and just I think it's going to benefit our clients. And so, Bill, you talked a little bit about that second franchise you bought. And so you're obviously in the process. How did you choose from the hundreds of franchise brands out there that we have and we look at for our clients? What made you choose that one?
Good question. My wife, when we moved from Arizona to Florida, she was a CFO in the golf industry, and she wanted to have a business. We wanted to get another business. So we were looking for a while, and it wasn't nothing really that came to our portfolio that really struck a chord for both of us. And then this wellness brand came in about a year and a half ago, and I met the owner at one of our conventions. It was my wife's requirement. She goes, I want something simple, some absentee, few employees, and something that I could get behind that I enjoy. And when I presented this brand to her, I mean, we were looking at another one. She just exploded. She's like, I need to learn more about it. So we didn't understand the industry that much of what the value was, but we did our research and we were blown away as how much research was in this industry and how much benefits to the health and wellness of individuals. So then we went through the validation process, picked it up right there, and my wife is excited. She actually went to the competition that was in our vet, and she went there, experienced the service itself here in Sarasota, and she loved it. And then she stopped, and I asked her about a couple weeks later, I'm like, why'd you stop? I said, do you feel any different? She goes, yes, I want to go back. So that was another, you know, if people try your service, they leave, but they don't feel any difference, are they going to come back? And she's now going back to the competition because we're not open yet. So it was kind of funny that she believes in it. She's finding it for her own health and benefit. And I went to the corporate experience. I'm like, wow, I went once so far. But it was clearly, it was the requirements of my wife and then the passion we still have for it. And then we did a proper due diligence. I didn't make the mistake this time. You know, there's always, I was still nervous the second time. But I'm more energized the second time than the first time about, I think we could be successful. So we're excited.
You know, Bill, you bring up an important point. It's not exactly a question, but, you know, even for someone like yourself who has years of franchising experience, you're a true industry insider, you're still making that decision heavily influenced by your spouse. Right. And that's something we talk to our clients all the time about. I tell people sometimes guys will tell me that, oh, it's my decision. And I think, well, either you have a very different marriage than I have, or you're not telling me the truth. Right. So that's a great example of what it really takes to make a decision, because you need to have full support, not only the spouse, but the family, And it's great to hear you talk about it, even for a guy that, you know, knows as much as anybody about the industry. So thank you for that.
I've had one of that too, Chris, as far as, you know, the husband's making that, I don't need it. And they get then, and they find out this, yeah, my wife doesn't want to go forward. Thanks for your help. And they kind of leave. And you tell them up front, who, anybody else involved. And I had this conversation with a gentleman the other day, high level executive, very well. We start talking, great guy. We start talking about his wife and his daughter. And he's like, I can't believe I didn't think about that. I can get my wife involved. Now he's like all excited to share with his wife, and because he thinks she'll be on board with it. Yeah, it's getting the whole family involved.
Yeah, that marriage counseling piece comes up quite a bit in our job, doesn't it? Kind of, we get a lot of the pieces. And I think, you know, listening to you today, Bill, kind of hearing, you know, maybe the first round didn't work out for you, but, you know, leveraging some of those skills that you use for our clients, you know, doing the due diligence, making sure you trust the person that you're going to actually partner with in the business, getting your wife involved, sort of the marriage counseling piece, all of those different components to really dive deep into the business and so that you could choose the right one the second time. And I know that's something that we do for our clients, and we really do appreciate your insights today. I think this is the type of conversation that our clients need to hear and really to learn how do you go about this process. And I think the process that we have at The Perfect Franchise really does dive into that to make sure that you're doing that due diligence, that we're matching you to the right franchise. Because, you know, if you're considering franchising as a path to business ownership, remember, you know, no one size fits all franchise suits everybody. Even so, there's a franchise out there for everyone that's perfect for you. So to explore your options and find that perfect match, please visit us at theperfectfranchise.com by clicking on Let's Talk. You can schedule time to speak with a consultant on the Perfect Franchise team. Thank you, Bill, for your time, and we look forward to connecting with you in the audience again for our next episode. Take care.